The disability sector is demanding answers from the federal government over the independence of a report used to justify controversial reforms to the National Disability Insurance Scheme. Documents released to Labor under Freedom of Information appear to show the 2019 Tune NDIS review was amended by public servants to include a section advocating for the rollout of permanent independent assessments. Samantha Connor is President of People with a Disability Australia. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You've had an opportunity to see these documents obtained under FOI. What are your concerns?
I have concerns that, you know, this is something that the disability sector is against and that we haven't asked for. And, you know, that the fact that we have the entire disability sector, people with disability and their families saying, no, we don't want this, and we have what appears to be a compromised report that isn't truly independent, is a huge concern if it's something that government is determined to do in order to cut costs or narrow or cap a scheme that's supposed to support the, thousands of Australians who are disabled, is just a really big concern for us.
So I want to get to what it is that you don't want, but in terms of this document, this report, when you say it appears to be doctored, what do you see when you look at these documents?
There's an entire section which has been inserted, it appears, which is around independent assessments. So I understand that people are given support. You know, David Tume was given support, apparently, through a secretariat, but this appears to be something that isn't reflective of what disabled people and families have asked for and providers have asked for. This is something that government has proposed, and we know that it's been proposed early, which has been inserted and, proposed as a recommendation to be inflicted upon us, rather than saying, look, this is what Australians want and this is the best way forward.
And is it clear who has inserted these amendments, these changes into the documents?
Oh, I had a look at the 900-page document yesterday in a really busy day. It isn't, but it appears that it looks like it's government/NDIA officials. There's some emails in the FOI. There's the involvement of the NDIA board with, talking points. So it's not actually clear who has inserted the changes, but it certainly doesn't appear to be David Tume.
So what are these permanent independent assessments that you're talking about? This is when you say this is what we don't want, I assume it's that.
Yeah, it is. So the permanent independent assessments, there's changes proposed to the legislation which say that the CEO of the NDIA is now allowed to insist on an independent assessment, which is basically the stranger, not our doctor or clinician, comes into our house for 20 minutes, asks us to do a range of standardised tests, which, a whole bunch of people are against, by people who aren't qualified to deal with our disabilities. They're sort of outsourced people who are employed by the government over a very short period of time, write a report, and then it's only after that that we sit down and have a planning meeting after the budget's been allocated. And that really turns on its head the whole idea of the NDIS, which is supposed to be what our lives are about and what our goals and, outcomes need to be, rather than just what we can't do. So it's a really medicalised model, which the disability sector have come out and said, look, this is not what it was ever intended to be. We're really against it. We need everyone to just stop, take a step back. And the release of this report is just another underlining of those concerns and another clear message to government to say, look, we just don't need this. We need to just stop and reset the disability insurance scheme.
So I understand as part of this process, questionnaires were put to people who engage with the NDIS. Were specific questions put about independent assessments?
There has been a range of consultation, especially since the entire disability sector have been very noisy about it. So there has been consultation, but there's also been engagement from the NDIA, where they've said very clearly, look, this is not negotiable. And so although people have been consulted in some regard, there's also been a complete lack of negotiation about whether we're allowed to do this or not. The tenders have gone out. They've already employed people who, one of them is the former CEO of the NDIA, who has set up a lot of companies under his new business. And so there's been a lot of concerns that have been raised. And so this is why people just don't want this. We want to make sure that we've got the best scheme that we can have to, you know, that we can have to support people in the best way that we can.
So who's pushing these independent assessments? Who wants them?
Initially, this was a project that was set up by the former CEO of the NDIA under a thing called Operation Greenlight, and they ran out of trial a few years ago, a little bit under the cover of darkness and without much accountability. They were drilled in Senate estimates. And then it's been really picked up and carried by former Minister for this area, Stuart Robert, who's now sort of left that area. Minister Linda Reynolds has come into this portfolio, and we're really hoping that this is an opportunity for the sector to be able to sit down with Linda and say, look, we don't want this, we don't need this, and we really need to start have a good look at what's happening and make sure we've got the best outcomes for us.
That new minister's office has responded to these statements and these questions, saying that the Australian government did respect the independence of the report author, David Tune, at all stages. I think you've noted this already. There was a small secretariat team provided to David Tune to assist in compiling the report. Does that clarification reassure you around the independence of this?
I don't think so. Looking at a very, very complex document, you know, 900 and something pages, but the powers which are given to the government underneath this proposed legislation are very clearly outlined, not in the original version of this, but in the markup. And so it very much looks like whoever it is who has been marked this up has been dictating a whole bunch of things which grant these overarching powers to the federal government over the states, which really turn around the whole nature of the scheme and which, you know, are doing things that disabled Australians will probably, you know, find won't work for them in the long run.
I think I'm speaking to you in Adelaide this morning. You travelled there from Perth for the first anniversary of Anne-Marie Smith's death. She was a 54-year-old woman with cerebral palsy whose death shocked the country and sparked inquiries into vulnerable people in care. How does being there shape the way you think about the way this is being handled, this review?
Oh, there were so many people last night who were disabled Australians who, you know, people in South Australia are angry, upset. When we talked about independent assessments last night, you know, people just were on the same page, nodded, and, you know, had some really big concerns. We stayed and talked with community afterwards, and it really underlined, you know, that this is domestic violence. You know, this is a disabled woman who was in her own home, who should have been, she was a wealthy woman, she should have been cared for under this scheme. And we don't think that an independent assessment would have kept this woman safe either. So, you know, we need to make sure that we've got the support that we need and that we're actually at the centre of everything that is done. And we have access to mainstream supports and services. So under the National Plan for Violence Against Women and Their Children, Anne-Marie Smith should have had access to the mainstream supports and services that other people have. And unfortunately, she didn't have that. So it really underlined that, you know, that things are going wrong for us in a way consistently that just goes on for years and years, and we hear these stories again and again, and we're hoping the government will just, you know, sit back and get it right.
I'm speaking to Samantha Connor, President of People with Disability Australia. A question about vaccine rollout. The National Disability Service Chief Executive David Moody is saying that some of his members have begun taking matters into their own hands. They're helping their clients get jabs through a GP rather than waiting for the vaccine to be delivered to the disability accommodation where they might be living. What are you hearing about the pace of the rollout amongst disability facilities?
It's kind of interesting. I have muscular dystrophy, and so I'm not in the front line. You know, my disability support worker is sort of the person who's able to get the jab before I do. And it's interesting, given that I have a type of disability where I would be a person who would die first, like a person who's over 80. And so,
sorry, what?
Yeah, I know. We're not in the front line. So people who are on respirators and people who are actually severely at risk are not in the front line. Our disability support workers are. We tried to make sure that people who are in group homes and congregate settings were prioritised, and we are hearing that as well, that it's just not rolling out quickly enough. So I really appreciate that National Disability Services are pushing their members to make sure that people in group homes are safe, because they're so much more at risk living together in a segregated setting.
Samantha Connor, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Hamish.
Samantha Connor is President of People with Disability Australia. Breakfast did seek comment from David Tune and the National Disability Insurance Agency. We yet to receive a response, but we will update and upload in full that statement from the NDIS Minister, Linda Reynolds.